And so we'll say hello to Terrence and April and the gang. And glad that you're tuned in to watch us tonight as well. We're going to get started, of course, with a song. We're going to turn to page 138. Page 138. And Christ Arose. Now, this is a little difficult song to sing. And so you might better arise if you can. It might help you when you get to the part where it said, up from the grave he arose. 138. Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. He arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen, Pastor.
Good evening. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Appreciate that. Look forward to you. Y'all maybe go ahead and sit down. Look forward to you preaching and being here. We really appreciate y'all's help in all this. We wouldn't be able to do it without you. And do want to welcome all those that are listening by looking by Facebook Live. And appreciate your comments. Appreciate all the things you do, all the little love things you send up, and all the little like things you send up. And appreciate your encouragement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we just pray tonight as we meet. I know, Lord, we can only have 10 at a time at a service in Georgia. And Lord, I thank you for the 10 that came this morning and the 9 that came tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you be honored, that we would listen attentively to the Word of God taught by Brother Glenn, and we would be doers of the Word. And again, as we are encouraged by the resurrection of our Lord tonight, and we just use him in a mighty way tonight. And Lord, may we be obedient servants and be doers of the word. And we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. And again, Wanda, we want to say thank you for playing. Amen. I bet you never played for so many. And but we appreciate you doing that. And also, I just got a couple announcements tonight. Wednesday night, we're going to be in the second part of the Doctrine of Salvation as we're looking at the Doctrine of Repentance. And we're using our study guides that I sent out to you. And we'll be in the part two of the Repentance. And we may get through, we may not. But we're not going to do Wednesday nights like Sunday mornings. I think we probably wouldn't have over 10 anyway. So you just show up. And the first 10, after that, you just have to go home. or either pay me extra money, you know. But anyway, so just show up Wednesday night. And I want to warn you, I understand there's some bad weather coming in about 3 or 4 in the morning. And so lasting a few hours. So be on guard for that. Now, next Sunday morning, I'm going to skip ahead in Matthew, and we're going to go all the way to Matthew 24, 1 through 14, not the whole chapter. We'll deal with that when we get there in Matthew. Signs of the coming tribulation. I want to talk about the beginning of sorrows. It'll tell us exactly why we're seeing what we're seeing. And so you want to tune in next Wednesday night, or next Sunday morning, and be here for that. So take note of those things. If you will, we'll go ahead and do our prayer request. And we mentioned so many. Is y'all, Scott and what's that?
Dustin,
they doing okay?
Doing good so far. Praise the Lord.
Okay. We definitely want to pray for all our healthcare workers. Pray for Jack as he goes to the cardiologist this week. And Margene, didn't Margene bring down the house this morning? Wow, and she gets, like I said this morning, mo' better and mo' better. And she really loves singing because she sings from her heart. And so remember those, remember Margaret Hart and your parents and that family. And you think it's okay to take Tony off the prayer list? Or?
Yeah, I think you might, Kenny. He's doing better.
Okay. And remember Joe and Kathy Weaver. Joe at Archibald, Inez's brother that has moved out of ICU onto the open floor and has coronavirus, a Chinese virus, I'm sorry, and Kathy Weaver, his wife, that is at home with the Chinese virus as well. So we want to pray for all of our healthcare workers, okay, and remember them in our prayers. And I'm going to, Brother Glenn, when you come back up here to do the offertory hymn,
yes,
can you lead us in the prayer for the sick when you get back up
yes,
here? All right, appreciate it.
All right. Well. And I apologize for not mentioning that as we were doing the offertory, a little different now. And we used to take offerings in Baptist churches, and now we receive offerings in Baptist churches. Amen? And so if you haven't dropped yours in, you come on up before you get out of here tonight, and we'll receive tithes and offerings. So you drop it on in there. Amen? Well, it is Resurrection Sunday, and this is one of those days. Now, Brother Ken, I've never been a stickler about preaching on a certain subject just because of the day. But other than Christmas and Easter, or I call it Resurrection Sunday, I'm not too fond of the term Easter, but that's another message for another day. But those are two that I pretty much have always stuck with because they are so very important. Of course, Christmas being the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, and then, of course, what we call Resurrection Sunday, or a lot of people like or don't mind the term Easter, of course, deals with the resurrection. And those are two of the most important doctrines in the Christian faith. So I want to spend a little time tonight and talk about the basis of the resurrection. Being the very cornerstone of the Christian faith, it is so very important. And there's so much that we could say, but when you begin to go throughout the scripture, even in the Old Testament, so much can be said about the resurrection. But as I've been studying throughout my years as a preacher and pastor, I have found out that the main base or basis of the resurrection to me is God Himself. The life of God. The fact that God is alive. The fact that Jesus is alive. The fact that in Him was life, and that life was the light of man, that the promise of the resurrection is based on the very life and existence of God. To deny the resurrection is to deny the fact that God is alive. How could we have a living God who would not have the power to raise the dead? He wouldn't be a living God, He'd be a dead God. And so when we think about the basis of the resurrection, it's based on the life of God Himself. If I'm going to take you on a little journey tonight, and so I hope you got your Bibles in hand and ready, and make sure you have it open. We'll start off in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 19 and verse 25. You'll recognize this little quick passage of Scripture, but then we're going to move on throughout other passages in the Old and New Testament. And so have your Bible ready tonight, and let's look at the idea of the basis of the resurrection. Job chapter 19, of course, we know at this time in Job's life, he's been suffering intensively. He's been getting some bad advice from some friends, and if you'll do a little deeper study in Job, you'll find out that his friends meant well, but as they began to open up their mouth, everything began to go south. And we find out that they did three things. They misrepresented the person of God, they misrepresented the word of God, and they misrepresented the worship of God. Now that's a whole other message. But at this point, Job has really taken it in, and he's really been suffering. But then Job begins to realize that even though he's going through what he's going through, that there will be a vindication day. And Job believed in the resurrection. And Job knew that even if God did not deliver him from this suffering that he was going through, he knew that he would be vindicated one day in the resurrection. And he said there in Job 19 and verse 25, look what Job said. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Boy, I could park right there and just start preaching right there about the fact of the resurrection is because our Redeemer liveth. That is in the present tense there. Job is saying, even though in the midst of what I'm going through, I know that right now my God is alive. I know right now my God is in control. I know right now that even though I'm suffering, that God has not forsaken me. And how do we know that? Because look what he said. Job said, "For I know through experience, through personal worship, through personal suffering, through personal identification with his Savior in God, he knew," he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Hallelujah. What a message that is right there, the promise of the resurrection. And look at verse 27. And Job said, "Whom I shall see for myself,
and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What a testimony that is, friend. No matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what this coronavirus could and cannot do, no matter how much suffering we may see or endure, we know that we as an individual believer in Jesus Christ one day will stand with our Savior at the end times on this earth in His millennial kingdom in a resurrected body. We'll see Him for ourselves. We'll live with Him. We'll reign with Him. And listen, friend, that's encouraging to me, that I'll tell you why I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection because Jesus is alive. Amen? Oh, think about it with me. It's based on the life of God. The very fact Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And why did Job believe that one day he would be vindicated for his suffering and for his sin nature? It's because he knew that God was eternal. He knew that God had conquered and would conquer hell and death, and that because God was alive, Job would be alive. I like what Jesus said. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen? Think about this. The resurrection is based on the life of God Himself. The fact that Jesus lives today to make intercession for the believer and will one day judge the unbeliever tells us that the resurrection is a reality. Amen? Listen, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. And what's He doing? He's making intercession on behalf of the believers. The fact that Jesus makes intercession on behalf of you and I today, friend, there's only one way He can do that. It's because He's risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell and death. He's coming again in power and glory. He's calling the church home to be with Him. He's raising us up together in the heavenly places through that death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm here to tell you, friend, Jesus is alive. And so because He's alive, I know that I'm going to live as well. Amen. Someone asked me one time, said, hey, Brother Glenn, how long are you going to live? I only got one answer for that. I'll tell you how long I'm going to live, Brother Ken. I'm going to live as long as God lives. Amen? Hey, if God dies, I'll die. But if God doesn't die, I'm going to live forever. Why? Because Jesus said He was the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in Him, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in Him shall never die. How about that? Amen? Now, I know this whole physical body's going to croak one day, and I understand that. And Job understood that. Look what he said. He said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body. In other words, what did he say? He said, if I'm in the ground for so many years that worms just absolutely destroy this body, and I turn back to the dust of the earth from which God made me, he said, yet there's still coming a day in my flesh that I'll see God. He said, God's going to raise this old body up. Amen. Oh, what a glorious thought that is, that the resurrection is based upon the life of God, the eternality of Jesus Christ. Listen, think about this. Flip over, hold it there, and go all the way to the last book of the Bible, and look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, now here, watch this, he says, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now think about that for a moment. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Now you remember at the ascension, the two angels stood there and said, why do you men stand here gazing up into the clouds? He said, this same Jesus, remember the Bible said when Jesus ascended that he was caught up in what? In a cloud? And he said, why are you guys standing here gazing? He said, for this same Jesus that's taken away from you shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. And so the fact that here that John says, and watch this, he said, behold, he cometh with clouds. Hey, listen, friends, there's only one way Jesus can come a second time, and that is if he came the first time, died, was buried, and rose again, ascended back to the right hand of the Father, so the Father can send him back the second time. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The second coming of Jesus Christ proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He couldn't come back if he hadn't been raised from the dead. Amen? Hey, a dead Savior can't come back. But thank God a living Savior can. Oh, listen. He says this. He says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Think about this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ will be evidenced in his physical return to the earth. You say, well, I just don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, the evidence of his resurrection will be revealed in his second coming. It will be revealed to the believer in the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it will be revealed to the unbeliever 1,007 years later at the great white throne judgment, because if you're saved, friend, you're going to be resurrected in the first resurrection at the rapture of the church. If you're lost, you're going to be resurrected at the second resurrection after the great white throne judgment to receive a punishment for your sins. And so the resurrection is based on the life of God, number one. It's evidenced by the physical return of Jesus Christ. Think about it. 1 Thessalonians 4. Watch this. Matter of fact, you ought to flip over there. I know it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to show you something that we don't focus on too much when we look at that passage of Scripture about the evidence of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We all know verse 16, but I want you to back up and look at verse 13. Look what he says. He says this. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, what's he talking about? Those that have passed away, those that know the Lord. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He's talking to believers at Thessalonica. And he's saying, listen, guys, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning mom and dad, Uncle Joe and Aunt Sue, and your children, and those that you know that have passed on, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now watch this. For if we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What does that tell me? That tells you something, friend. The rapture of the church is going to be a very special event. We get so focused on the fact that we're going to get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, but we forget about the fact that Jesus is going to grab those that have gone before us, and they're going to rise first, and then we're going to meet them together, and we're going to have a reunion not only with Christ, but with all those that we know and love that have gone before. Hallelujah. What's that? That's evidence of the resurrection. That's more evidence of the resurrection. Because think about this. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. That means go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those, listen, if you're alive at the rapture, those which have already died, the Bible says, shall rise first. Now, it's only one general resurrection, but listen, friends, they're coming out first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So I just kind of see it like this. When the rapture happens, boy, it's going to be a moment of twinkle in the eye. And as soon as mom and daddy get head high with me, I'm going up too, brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mom and dad, we're going together, Brother Ray. My dad didn't serve the Lord a lick. He got saved 23 hours and 5 minutes before he died. But I'm telling you, that man got saved. He's coming out. And when he gets head high with me, I'm going up with him, hand in hand, and with my mom as well. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, the evidence, the resurrection will be evidenced in the return of Jesus Christ to the church in the rapture. It will be evidenced in the second coming. Back at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 speaks of the second coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, where it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and those which pierced him, see, he's talking about that. Then what's going to happen then? Oh, it's not going to be a pretty sight for those who don't know the Lord. Amen. Those who denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those that said God was dead, those that said that we were bigots and haters and that our religion was a crutch. Let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus comes back in power and glory at the Battle of Armageddon and consumes them with the spirit of his mouth, and the Bible says, look at that now. It says, and every eye shall see him. That's the, I believe, the Gentile world and the unbelievers gathered for the Battle of Armageddon. And they also which pierced him. That's the nation of Israel that denied him when he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And the Bible said that all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Why are they going to wail? I'm going to tell you why they're going to wail. Because they're going to realize he's alive and well. Amen. He's not dead. You're going to wail because he's alive and well. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ will be evidenced in his physical return. See, a lot of people just say, well, if God would just show me, you just hang on, brother. God's going to put on one whale of a show before too long. Amen. And I advise you to get right and get ready before the show begins, because when the show begins, it's going to be a little bit too late for you. Oh, listen. Not only is the resurrection of Jesus Christ based on the life of God. Oh, I forgot some things on that first point there. John 1 and 4, in him was life. Genesis 2, 7, where the Bible said, in God, in what breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. Listen, life, it's a resurrection is based on the life of God. It's evidenced by his physical return. And I like this, corruption can't stop it. Corruption can't stop the resurrection. Listen, the corruption couldn't stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I like this. Guess what? Corruption can't stop your and mine resurrection either. Amen. It couldn't stop Lazarus' resurrection. I went back and looked at that, Brother Ken, after you mentioned that in John 11. And he said, and after 4 days, he said, Jesus showed up. And they said, Jesus, where have you been? He said, well, take me to where he is. And they said, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. But what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus looked at him and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come right out of the grave, dropped the grave clothes, came right out of the grave. Why? Because corruption can't stop the resurrected Christ. And because it didn't stop him, friend, it's not going to stop you and I either. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says what? For this corruption, amen, must put on what? Incorruption. For this mortal must put on what? Immortality, right? And then what happens? Death is swallowed up whole in a lie. The grave loses its power, its sting. Why is that? Because listen, even corruption of the human body can't stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is based on the life of God. It will be evidenced in his physical return. Corruption can't stop it. Not only think about this, it will be realized by every single individual. I like this. I like this. Listen, when God proves a point, he proves it to everybody. Not just somebody. He proves it to everybody. Look what Job said in 19:27. He said, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Hey, listen, Jesus is asking you today to believe in his resurrection based on the testimony of his saints, because he knows one day you're going to experience it for yourself, either at the rapture or the great white throne judgment. And I'm here to tell you, friend, you're going to be a believer then. You're going to be a believer on that day. I can promise you, if you're not a believer now. But if you're lost at the great white throne judgment, it will be too late for you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ will be realized and believed on by every human being that has ever lived on the face of the earth. You better put it down this way. Either you're going to bend the knee to Christ in salvation, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, or you're going to bend the knee to Christ and confess the death, burial, and resurrection and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Either way, friend, you're going to be a believer. You're going to be a believer. And so we think of this evidence of in the basis of the resurrection. What a wonderful thought this is. We know that the resurrection delivers us from the power of the grave. Of course, Jesus said in John 11, I quoted that verse a moment ago. What did he say? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why is that? Because Jesus is the resurrection. If you're in Christ, you're in the resurrection. And if you're in Christ, then you're the beneficiary of the resurrection, because Jesus is the resurrection. Think about that, amen? Well, how do you know you're going to get caught up one day? Because Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to question it. I don't have to second guess it. And listen, it's a stone cold fact, friend. Psalm 49. And look at Psalm 49. Turn back there. Or turn over there. If you're in Job, you got to turn over a few pages. Psalms. Look at Psalm 49. The grave is just a temporary place. Now watch this. Say, well, preacher, you know, I don't believe in the resurrection. When you're dead, you're dead. People have been dying for over 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross, preacher. And guess what? They're still in the grave. Yeah, their body is, but I guarantee you, friend, their spirit and their soul's not in that grave. The grave is just, and the grave is only temporary for the body. How about that? It's only temporary. Look at Psalm 49 and verse 15. The Bible says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Boy, I like that. Now, he says Selah right there. That means muse. That means think upon that for just a moment. That's a very powerful verse. But watch this. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Now think about that. What does that mean? When is he going to receive you? I'll tell you when he's going to receive you. He's going to receive you at the resurrection. Amen? Hey, when you received him, you became a child of God, and he's going to receive you into his presence at the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. He said, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Be not thou afraid. Oh, okay, I don't even want to go into that verse. I just want to stay on that one right there. Excuse me. The fact that the grave is just a temporary place. And so knowing that we'll not be left behind, we know that we have the truth and the power of the resurrection because we're in Christ, and Christ is that resurrection. We have the promise that the grave is temporary. The body will not remain in the ground. It will be reunited with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Think about this. Not only that, the resurrection, the basis of the resurrection, the fact, here's another fact, that it is future in its reality. You know, a lot of things about God, you know, and I think this is why people don't like Christianity too much, Brother Ken. It's because it's all based on faith. Amen? It's all based on faith. It's not based on sight, Brother Ray. It's based on faith. And we live in a generation of people, they want what they can see, and they want what they want when they want it. And if they can't have it, then they just want to discard everything about it, right? Amen. But the Christian life is a life of faith. And the resurrection and its reality will be seen in the future, okay? But it's possessed in the current position. Even though we haven't experienced the resurrection, the rapture of the church has not taken place, we possess it in position. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I told you I was going to take you on some verses tonight. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Even though its future, its reality is in the future, it's possessed in our current position right now. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says in 3, verse 20, let me flip over one more page. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. Now, I like that word conversation. That word basically means, guess what it means? It means citizenship, all right? Now, If my citizenship is in heaven, then that means I'm just a pilgrim on this earth. And so even though the reality of the resurrection will be witnessed in the future, it's already possessed by me in my position as a believer, okay? In other words, think about this, friend. I am as good as resurrected already. Amen. It don't matter when it happens. Listen, I am as good as in heaven as if I was there right now. Why? Because in my position as a son of God, my citizenship is in heaven, right? Look what he says. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. What's he going to do? What's going to happen at the resurrection? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, friends, I got a new body. you may not see it, but I already have it. All right? My citizenship is in heaven. My riches are in heaven. They're laid up beyond the blue. And I'm here to tell you, friend, although you don't see the reality of the resurrection in me as a believer as far as physically, it is good as has already taken place, because Jesus is that resurrection and that life. And the Bible says he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And he's already subdued the power of the grave. He's already subdued the price of my sin. He's already subdued the corruption of my flesh. And he's already done everything that's necessary to guarantee my position, my place, my mansion, my rewards. Why? Because I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. Oh, listen, you say, well, what's your address? Well, my physical address here is 1811 Old Thomasville Road. But I'm here to tell you, friend, my real address is Hallelujah Boulevard. Amen. Listen, the resurrection, friend, that's our citizenship. Think about it. It may be future in its reality, but it's possessed in position. And not only that, but think about this. Then he says, back in Psalm 49, he says, that's really something that you really ought to think about. You really ought to think about that. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Now, you need to think about that for a minute. Now, I hope and pray everyone under the sound of my voice knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you know what? There could be someone under the sound of my voice tonight who's never been saved and born again. You've never experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. You really need to think about this for just a moment, friend. Because think about this. What would it profit? You say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe in the resurrection, and I believe it's all here and it's all now, and what you got is a crutch. But let me ask you something, friend. What if I'm right and you're wrong? What if Jesus is alive? What if the resurrection is real? And I'm right and you're wrong. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it that people, the price that you're going to pay to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, what happens when you die and you find out that I was right, and when you die it's all over and you're just like a dog in the ground? Well, even if that was true, even though it's not, guess what? I still lived a happier life than you did. Huh? I still had more friends than you did. I still had more brothers and sisters than you did. I still had more joy than you did. I still had more opportunities to love and to care and to share and to give than you did. I lived a much more abundant and fuller life, even if it isn't true. But I know that it is, because I experience it every single day. So, friend, what are you willing to gamble on that? You better muse on this thought. The Bible says that God promised to receive me as a child of God. What does that mean to you if you're not a child of God? Let me tell you what it means. It means he will reject you. Listen, God's either going to receive you as a son of God, or he is going to reject you as a sinner. You must make your choice. What would it profit you? Not only that, think about this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the will of our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. Flip over to John chapter 6. I told you I was going to take you on a little journey tonight. John chapter 6. The resurrection, our resurrection, is the will of our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 39. What does it say? It says, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Oh, think about this, friend. It is the will of our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. He said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." If the resurrection isn't true, Jesus Christ is the biggest liar that ever walked the face of the earth. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that it's the resurrection is the will of the Heavenly Father for Jesus, and it's the will of the Heavenly Father for the believer for Jesus' sake. Think about it. Listen, I'm not going to be in the resurrection because I deserve it. I'm not going to be in the resurrection because I'm a good old boy. I'm not going to be in the resurrection because I'm a church member. I'm going to be in the resurrection for Jesus' sake. because Jesus died and rose again. That's the only reason I'm going to be in the resurrection. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. Hey, listen, God's doing it for Jesus' sake. Amen? Think about that. It's the will of our Heavenly Father. Now, let me tell you, the reality of experiencing that resurrection only becomes a reality through faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that. The gospel contains the resurrection. And if you want to be part of the resurrection, there's only one way. And you got to come through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful in the days in which we live that we don't give out a partial gospel. I hear so many times people talking about Jesus dying on the cross. And yes, Jesus died on the cross, but may I remind you that a dead Savior can't save anybody. Amen? And that's why I get so upset about Catholic crucifixes with a dead Jesus hanging as a graven image around somebody's neck, and a dead Jesus hanging on a cross in a $10 million cathedral with millions of poor people walking around it, crawling on their knees trying to earn their way to heaven. And when Jesus is risen from the dead, he's not dead hanging on a cross. He's alive at the right hand of the Father. And you're only getting there, friend, by faith in his finished work. Amen. That's the only way. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Why would you want to worship in a building with a dead man hanging on a piece of steel? Doesn't make any sense to me. Amen? Listen, we only see Jesus through the eyes of faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is. He's alive. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's not hanging around here somewhere, friend. He's in heaven and he's in my heart through his spirit. It only comes through the reality of faith. Oh, listen. And think about this. It is Christ himself that will raise up the believer. It is Christ himself that will raise up the believer. Look at verse 40. Now watch it. This is what Jesus said. Look at this now. He said, and this is the will of him. Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And look at this. What did Jesus say? I will raise him up. Jesus himself. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Friend, the only way you're going to get raised up is by the resurrection. And Jesus is the resurrection. Amen? Jesus is the one that conquered hell and death. Jesus is the one that has the keys of hell and death. Oh, think about it. Christ will raise up the believer. Listen, the resurrection is not of human volition, but it's of divine intervention. Listen, it's not of human volition, it's of divine intervention. The rapture of the church of Jesus Christ will only take place under divine intervention when Jesus comes again and calls us home to be with him. Listen, if you're going to be part of the resurrection, you must accept it willingly at the moment of divine intervention and not convenience. You see? Now look at this verse very closely. Now this spits in the face of easy believism. I don't believe in easy, I don't frustrate the grace of God, but I don't believe in easy believism, amen? I don't believe a prayer ever saved anybody. You hear me? Now, some people disagree with that. I can back someone in the corner at Harvey's and bug them long enough, Brother Ken, where I can coerce them to repeat something after me, but they're going to be twice the child of hell when they leave out of Harvey's as they were when they went in there, if Jesus didn't save them. Look what he said. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, all right? Now, here's a demonstration, all right? Can you see me? Everybody see me?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you see me now?
Nope.
When are you going to be able to see me?
When you rise.
Not until I reveal myself to you. You get it? You're out here today and you just think you can shun the grace of God and spit in the face of Jesus and deny the resurrection and the grace and salvation of the witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a more convenient time when you think you're ready to decide to be a Christian, you're going to die and go to hell. Because the only time you can ever receive Jesus Christ is when he reveals himself to you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, that's not frustrating the grace of God. That is teaching and preaching what Jesus himself said about his person and about his salvation that he gives. Oh, listen. Think about it. It's the will of the Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. It only becomes a reality through faith. It must be taken willingly. You must receive Christ. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, no man can come to me. We said, wait a minute, preacher, doesn't the Bible say whosoever will may come? Yeah, you may come, but you can't come until you get called.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Cindy, come here. Now she can come, right? If I don't want her to come and I don't call her, now she may be able to try to come physically, but if I don't want her to come, I'm not going to pay her no attention. Now that's a silly human illustration, but here's the thing about it, friend. It must be received willingly at the moment of divine intervention. It's the Father's will. Jesus wants to raise up everyone that sees him and believes on him and receives him. But you cannot receive and you cannot come unless he calls, and you cannot see him unless he reveals himself to you. And what's one of the ways he reveals himself to the world today? I'll tell you how. Through the preaching of his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. That's what you have to believe. The gospel is not a dead Savior. The gospel is a Savior that died, that was buried, and rose again the third day. Amen. Think about it. The resurrection was witnessed in Christ's day on the earth as proof of his deity as God. We could talk about, he gave the illustration with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But then he gave the actual illustration of it in his own resurrection when he appeared unto the Marys, and he appeared unto 500 brethren at once. Then he went into Galilee and he appeared to the disciples. He appeared to the guys going down the road to Emmaus. And then he showed himself to Thomas, and I could go on and on and on. And so the reality of the resurrection is based on the proof that God is alive, and that God was alive. He died, he came alive again, and he's still alive today. Amen. Think about it. The resurrection is the power of God through the witness of the resurrection. Listen to me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of God through the witness of it. Look at Acts chapter 4. I got to hurry up and go here. I got a few more verses to get you to. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Great passage of scripture. What does it say? It says here. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. What was that? Think about that. The resurrection is the power of God through the witness of it. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Now, I didn't have time this afternoon to look up which word power, that whether that was dunamis or exousia, but either way, whether it's authority or dynamite, look what it says. Why would there be great authority or great dynamite power in the witness of the apostles unless what they were preaching about and witnessing about was true? There'd be no power in it at all. It'd be empty, vain words that some man just decided to speak. But Paul said, when we came unto you, we came not in demonstration of what? Of human intellect or wisdom, but we came in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost of God. That Holy Ghost of God gives witness of the resurrection. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Believeth what? Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Oh, this resurrection is foolish to the worldly crowd. Look at Acts chapter 17. I got to put it in high gear now. Look at Acts chapter 17. In verse 18, what does it say? It says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?" And boy, I wish I had time to read through this, but by the time when you get down to it, he's basically doing what? He's giving them witness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And can I say it's still strange and a stumbling block to people today? But I'm here to tell you, friend, it's the power of God to everyone that believeth. Hey, friend, it's the hope of the Christian and justice to the unbeliever. Look at Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. Acts 24 and verse 15. What does it say? It says, watch this, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." Oh, the resurrection, my friend, is the hope of the Christian, but it's going to bring justice to the unbeliever. Amen. If I had time, I could go back to John chapter 5. And Jesus said, "For the hour is coming when the dead in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And those that have done good shall come out to the resurrection of the just. And they that have done evil shall come out to the resurrection of the unjust." That speaks of the two general resurrections, that of the believer and the unbeliever. The resurrection is the hope of the Christian, and it will bring justice to the unbeliever. And everything that he cried and demanded that he had rights to will be his sentence in the lake of fire for all of eternity. And finally, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, the resurrection declares the power of God in Jesus' sonship and holiness. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. The resurrection declares the power of God in Jesus' sonship and holiness. Romans 1, 4 says what? Well, just go ahead and just go back and start at verse 1. It says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, and by the resurrection from the dead." Hallelujah. It's only a natural conclusion that those who die with Christ will share in his resurrection. And I'll finish with this verse, Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. May I say tonight, unapologetically, without reservation, that it is only a natural conclusion that those who die with Christ will share in his resurrection. Romans 6 and 5 says what? It says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Friend, if you don't believe anything else, just use a little bit of common sense tonight to know and to believe and to confess that Jesus Christ is alive. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting to come back in power and glory to receive his bride to himself and judge this world in righteousness and to bring in his millennial kingdom. My friend, the good news is Jesus is alive. Now the final question before we close tonight is this. Are you alive? If you're not in Christ, you're dead. If you're in Christ, you're alive. For in Adam, all shall die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Trust him tonight. Call upon him. Be saved for Jesus' sake, that you may experience his resurrection. May we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day of all days. When we contemplate, believe, preach, teach, live, speak, witness, the greatest reality of all of human history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we praise you for that reality. If there's one under the sound of our voice tonight, Lord, who's never trusted him as Lord and Savior, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them? Lord, would you call them tonight? Would you convince them that they're a great sinner in need of a great Savior who died for their sin, was buried, and rose again, and give them eternal life? We ask in your name alone, amen and amen.